You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. No, 4, 5, 6. Add 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in the, if you read the title for the evening, I'm not sure how that's going to go. It's a little confusing, that title. But if I take a couple of words out of it, I think it'll come out all right tonight. That's the question. So if you're looking for this title tonight, and you don't hear it exactly like it says, don't be discouraged. But this morning leads into that. Now, in the light of that, in the light of God's wonderful grace and presence, God, here we are, and David, we're looking at our particular world conditions that are rather dynamic and, to say the least, dramatic and dynamic, and they're there. And they're being outworked in a very aggressive way compared to our human history. Now, in the light of all of that, we looked at David. David is God's illustration, example. David and the son of David is our Lord. And David walked with God, and his steps were by God's, and his way was by God, and his times were in the hands of God. And he had given his heart to God. A God is going to measure the kings by whether they walk after his heart. And he measures the kings, each king. Do you have the heart of David in your journey? And he tests them. That's the test. Now for us, we're in the Son of David, and we are to walk in 1 Peter in that chapter 2. We're to walk in his step, follow his example. God sets the pace for us. So our steps and our way and our times and our heart. So we need that. We're lining up with that, and how does that work out? Now, therefore, looking at God's word, and we're going to go back to Israel. We have to, in order to understand David's position. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you would recall the Shema, the great statement in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, 3 and 1, 1 and 3, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's your heart. Now, and David lined his heart up with God. Now, having said that, here's Israel, and Moses is looking, and Deuteronomy is the end. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus is the beginning. So, looking back, Moses is telling us what it was and how it was. And Israel's going to cross the Jordan shortly, thereafter this. So, they're being reminded and refreshed on what it's all about as they journey into the future. Now, so here in the light of that in Deuteronomy, over a few, in chapter 28. And as they journey into the future, you are going to recall, if I can, God's wonderful, wonderful commitment to do and to be to them everything that needs to be. Now, so therefore if I can, chapter 28, remember the 27, the cursings, 27, the blessings, and the cursings. Now, so looking at that, remember, and I'll read verse 1 simply to remind us, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, when I command thee, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. They're going to have an awesome position. And they ought to feel bad for the others. All of them could have it. Israel is an example to them, to all the nations. And God puts them up on the hill so you can't miss them. He puts the lighthouse out in the ocean so you can't miss it out there. So you aren't going to miss what he's trying to say. So now, here's Israel. And Israel, thus being such a having such a high position above all nations, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So they're going to have, and then you go through them. Now, when you're going through them, you get down to verse 6 again. And in verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, we shared all these. Now, here's the blessing. And the word blessed, blessing is a participle. It means something that's continuous. It's you're receiving, passive. You're receiving something on an ongoing basis. Perhaps the easiest way to catch that is you're receiving air right now on a continuous basis. You keep breathing, and when's it in? It doesn't. Keep coming, breathing, and you keep the air coming in and out. You're breathing. That's the word. You're blessed. Israel is going to be blessed here, there, anywhere. However, God is going to bless them as the nation, as they honor God, as they go in his steps in his way. Now, and David, Israel did not do this. Israel lost out on this. But David did not. David believed. David had a heart for God, 1 Samuel 13. He gave his heart to God. He lined his heart up with God in a most wonderful way. Now, having done that, and given his heart to God in such an awesome way, he's enjoying God's blessing. And Israel, the nation, he's king, before he's king, even after he's king. They understood. David was blessed, 1 Samuel, etc. David is blessed when he goes in, and David is blessed when he goes out. David is one blessed man. And they knew that. David was a blessed man among people that were rejecting his blessing, God's blessing. But David wasn't, and that's why we're looking at him. He's the example. Let me do the other side so you can see it. Now, in the light of that blessing, in the light of all of that God is doing, over, if you would please, while you're in Deuteronomy, go back over to chapter 4. And remind yourself of the mission of Israel, which you are well versed in. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. This is Israel's assignment. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the understanding in the sight of the nations. So everyone's looking at you as God puts you up in the up above. So everyone above all nations going to be blessed. They're going to be a light in the darkness, and you can't miss it. The lighthouse in the middle of the ocean, you can't miss it. Verse 6, therefore, and do them. And this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great and who hath God so nigh, near unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Verse 8. For what nation is there so great among us, said all these nations? What nation is there so great among us that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? In other words, there's no comparison. There's to be no comparison between the believer and the unbeliever. Two different worlds. They aren't trying to come together. God isn't saying come together like this. No, sir. He separates it clear cut. The dead and the living. The right and the wrong. Good and evil. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, now over, if you can, to the book of Exodus. And if I can, in the light of all of this, in the process, now, go with me over to Exodus, and keep in mind now, as we go to do this, in Exodus, I'm going to have to change you to go back, because I don't want to go that far. I need to put a piece in. So, in the light of that, go back over to back over to Deuteronomy and chapter 5. And Deuteronomy and chapter 5. Because that's our lead into where we're going. And we don't want to jump too quickly. And therefore, here they are, Israel. And Israel, remember, is 430 years under Pharaoh, the Egyptian, under Egyptian bondage, 430 years. And then they're going to go across the Jordan, and they're going to go and across the Red Sea, and they're going to go another 40 years under God. Now, and God calls them out of Israel by way of Moses to meet God. And in doing so, as God calls them out, keeping in mind Deuteronomy in chapter 5. Now remember, Moses led them out, God told them, in Egypt, where they were going, and they were going to go to meet God. That's what they were going to do. God was going to introduce himself. Moses has already been introduced to God in a very formal way in Exodus chapter 3. He's before the burning bush, and remember, and God introduces himself. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm God. Hang on. Now, so here they are, and they're going out to meet God, as you know, and in the process, chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 2. And the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, Mount Sinai. And the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't make them a covenant with them. He had a promise with them. So when I come to verse 3, but with us, even us, Moses and all the people that have exited Egypt, who are all of us here today, here alive today, here we are all living, standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, as it were, Mount Horeb. And in particular, verse 4, and God talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. They were introduced to God. Moses talked to God at the burning bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And here they are, all at the foot of Mount Sinai, and God is going to speak to Mount Sinai of the fire and everything, looking up. And in the process of all of that, God introduces himself. And how does he do that? He introduces them face to face. Face to face. Now, you need to understand when you say that, face to face, you need to understand face. And faces in the plural, faces that we're going to look at, is in the plural. Faces, always faces. And the word is used 2,200 plus or minus times in the Old Testament. So, big word. Faces. Plural, always plural. Why is it always? There's several words in Hebrew that are always plural. They're never singular. And when they are, it depends on what your word is. A word, and this word, face, it has to do, when you say face, you're plural. Faces. Faces. When you talk to people, easy, when you talk to people, do you look at their toes? Do you? Do you have toe-to-toe? Who has toe-to-toe when you're looking? You know, you don't do two toes. Two toes, yeah. You don't do it to your toes. No, you do it to the face. Face is prominent, plural, of all the parts of the body. It's the face where you look at the person. You don't look at their hands. You don't look at their feet. You look at their face. That's where you seek to see the person. In the face. It's plural. It amplifies it. Faces. Of all the places to look, the face. Faces. That's the word. That's why it's plural. Now, faces to faces. Person to person. Direct to direct. Direct. Straightway. Person to person. Hang on. Now, having said that, that's what they did. And you know, without reading it all, for time's sake, here we are in chapter 5, and you remember, now they're talking face to face to God. Now remember, you can't see God because God is God. And you have to, you know, that we'll pick it up here. But God, there's everything, all of creation, zillions of stars and galaxies, etc. All of that's just a little dot in the middle of God. Now, God, how do you want to have God? How do you have God have a part? You have parts, your head, your toes, your feet, and you have dimensions, the pew, the wall. How do you do that to God? How do you make God become so you can touch him? You can't. That's why he'll say, no man can see my face. You can't do that. It's impossible. Angels have an awesome sense of God because they're spirit beings. And here we are. And so you want to see his face. But you can't see his face. You couldn't do it if you were there. When we're there, you aren't going to see his face. God, how could we? You can't. How do you see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost who has no dimensions, no measurements? You can't. What do? God manifest before anyone was ever creation, what? The Lamb of God was to be what? Slain before the foundation of the earth. Why? Because God was going to glorify who? Himself. How is he going to glorify himself? By himself, in himself, born in Bethlehem of Judea, crucified, risen again. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, is going to be the visible expression of God. And you, believers, if you're saved, are his body to show him. Now hang on to that, you'll need that. If I can just move fast enough for you. Now, what you need to understand, otherwise you don't understand. You need to. You need to think and understand. Now, having said that, so now, if I can, chapter 5. and in verse 22. These words which the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, out of the cloud, out of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more, and he wrote them in two tablets of stone, tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. That's what he did. Now, Moses, what did you do? Moses is telling, reminding what history for the Israelites standing there. And then verse 23, and it came to pass when he heard, when you heard, all of them witnesses, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, and that you came near unto me, and all the heads of the tribes, and you all came near to elder Moses and said, Moses, you got to do something. Verse 24, and they said, and you said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and the greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth face to face, person to person, directly. God talked to them like we're talking to each other. Verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear his voice, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. So we don't want to hear that voice. We aren't able to be receptive to it. We aren't able to do it. And so Moses, you go and talk, and you go and listen, and you come and talk to us. Hang on. That's what they want. I might as well read it. Verse 26. For who is there of all this flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and lived? No one. No one ever heard God speak. That's right, except Adam and them, Abraham. Verse 27. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. You go, listen, Moses, and you come and talk to us. Now, hang on, you need that. And that's what they're going to have. They don't want no more. Now, God, you going to talk to them anymore? Nope. Moses is going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to Moses, and Moses is going to talk to you. Now, and the problem you guys have, as you know, you already could tell me, verse 29. Oh, that there was such an heart, a heart. That's what David didn't have. David had that, but the kings didn't have that. You got to have heart, some of the kings. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Blessed, blessing, blessing, the blessing of God. But you guys aren't going to do that. You guys aren't going to do that. Blessed shall they be when they go out, when they come in. Oh, but you guys aren't going to do it. Face to face, you don't want to hear me. You don't want to talk to me. God said, I'm the Creator. I'm the Savior. I want to talk to you. I want to help you. I saved you. I want to save you. I want you to be a testimony to all the nations. I'm going to talk to you so you understand. They don't hear it. They'll never hear it, except at the great white throne judgment. They're never going to hear. But hey, I want you to be in the place to say something to them. No, Israel, but you aren't going to do that. You don't want face-to-face. No, we don't. No, we don't. No face-to-face. Now, having said not face-to-face anymore, so, and remember, face, visible, the external surface, the fullness, the face, that's what you see. You don't see my... You don't see your elbow because you're covered with something. You see the face. Well, back to the faces. Faces, plural. That's the person. You're looking at the person, not a cupboard. You're looking at the person. So that's the word face. Faces, the chief part. Now, having that person-to-person and direct, and in the light of that and God, they are able to go and they saw everything. They saw it all. They saw the fire. They saw all these things, and they needed to understand God was exceedingly gracious. And in Exodus, you don't have to turn there. Exodus, they went, and God, what did you do to help them? Well, what I did is I'm going to make the tabernacle. Now, before I get into that part of it, would you go with me just to one other part, equal in parts, and going, and here's Moses. And Moses, you're going to have to talk to us. We don't want to hear God. We want to talk to you. Okay, you want to talk to God. You don't want to talk to God. Just want me to convey the message and do that. Now, like idols. What do you want idols to do? You go to the idol, some idol, and depending on what your background is, and you go to the idol, and you look to the idol, and you talk to the idol and give you whatever and give you bananas and stuff that you want to give, offering. And you do that, and hopefully the idol will what? Talk to this, whoever it is. Because you don't want to talk directly. That's why we have idols. That's why we have intermediaries, etc. Now, so here we are looking at God, and in the process of that, having said that, over to Exodus now, Exodus 33. In Exodus chapter 33, picking up, please. Now, what do we know about Moses going in and out before God? And he goes in and out, up and down, in and out all the time. Now, here's Exodus 33. And what do we know about Moses? Moses is going, here's the tabernacle, and to go in the tent and out of the tent, in the tent, out of the tent. And God, that's what he does, back and forth, talking to God, listening to God, etc. And chapter 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned and turned again on into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So now here's Moses, and he goes in and out, and Moses is a marked man face to face. So what did they know? Moses is somebody that was able to go and is able to go face to face with God, face to face, directly, person to person. Person, that's what he can do. Wow, okay. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, God going person to person in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, in Exodus, in chapter 33, and he goes in and out. Now, pick over, if you would, chapter 34. And in chapter 34, remember, the Ten Commandments, God puts the Ten Commandments there, comes down, Moses throws them, breaks them because the people are playing, having a big party into idolatry, the golden calf and everything, and the plates go down and break, rubble, well, and judgment. Now, so they don't have any more Ten Commandments. The stones are all gone. Okay, so Moses goes up again. In verse chapter 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew the two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou hast broken, thou breakest. Now, God, what are you going to do? Moses is going to bring two slabs up of stone, a slate or whatever, coming up, and he's going to put them out, and God is going to write the words that are written on these stones are done by God. Moses didn't write them. God wrote on those stones that he brings down. Now, having said that, in verse 4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand are the two tables of stone. So, and God wrote on them. Okay, now, God writing on them. Now, God wrote on them. Now, Moses, what are we going to do? Well, you wrote on them. Now, over to verse 28. Now, Moses writing on the stones. Now, in verse 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as nothing to it for God, in the middle of the fire, in the middle of everything. And think of the three friends of Daniel in and out of the fire. They're just there. He's just there. And by the way, if you're wondering, in the middle of that fire, etc., he did neither eat bread nor drink water. So he didn't need water. He didn't need bread. He didn't need anything. What do you think you're going to need when God takes you? You don't need anything. Well, but what I did? No, you don't. But you have to understand. Now, God said that in the first place to us, didn't he? For us now. Well, our life is based on, and God said, no, it isn't. Your life isn't based on what you eat or take or whatever. Your life is based on my presence in you. I gave you what? Eternal life. I gave you my uncreated life. It has nothing to do with food. It has nothing to do with water. Your body does, but you don't. So when you say, well, your body's, yeah, my body could die, but you can't die. You have eternal life if you're saved. Now, so here we are looking, 40 days and 40 nights, and he, in verse 28, the middle, and he wrote upon the tables of stone, words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, having said them, Moses came down, it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony of Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, and that Moses wist, W-I-S-T, no, wist not, knows not, doesn't know, knew not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So he came down from the mountain, and Moses was oblivious to his thing, which is what normally it is. When we're looking with God, we aren't thinking, God, you're doing it. No, he isn't. You won't even know it. You just go do it. And God does it. That's what he does. You aren't even conscious of it. You know, God, I wish I did, but God was. God was doing anyway. Now, having said that, so Moses went down, and his face shone, and the word shine there is to radiate. Literally, it means horns, like horns on an animal. Only, you have to think, beams. His face radiated like beams coming out, like this, radiating out, like the sunshine, like the light bulb. It's radiating. So that's, he didn't know it. He didn't know. And he didn't have a mirror, and he didn't care. He was just carrying and delivering the stones as per his assignment. And when Aaron, and verse 30, and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh, near him. They didn't want to come near him, understandably. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him and said, Moses, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh and gave them in commandment all the words, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking, he put a veil upon his face. And when Moses is done speaking. So, now, Moses, you're going to speak to them, the word? Moses, did you cover your face? No. He delivered the word of God. And when he was delivering the word of God, he was nothing on his face. No covering of his face. No covering. Straightway, direct. When he went in before God, No mask. Face to face. Do you understand? When he was delivering the word of God, no face, no mask, open face. When he was finished delivering the word of God, he put his mask on. Put his mask on. That's what he did. And that's how he lived. How are we going to live with Moses? He got his mask on. We don't want to have to live with God's word shining. That's the trouble, Moses. Your face is shining, and we realize that God is behind all this. You're giving us God's word. You're honoring God's word. You're walking in his steps, in his way, etc. And you're going. So therefore, Moses, if you're going to be with us, you've got to cover your face. You've got to cover your face. We don't want to have to face, see. We don't want to see that you've been with God. We don't want to see God in you and with you. Hang on. They didn't want to see that. And in verse 32, and afterward the children of Israel came nigh and gave them in commandment, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken to him Mount Sinai. And in verse 33, and till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil upon his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord, he spake with him, he took the veil off his face. How are you going to have a veil over your face when you talk to God? Hang on. It'll come out for you. How am I going to have a veil over my face when I talk to God? Moses couldn't do that. It's face to face with God. Now hang on. 34. And when Moses went in before the Lord, he spake with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out, and he spake unto the children of Israel that which he had commanded. And so here's Moses going in and out, verse 35. And verse 35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shined, his faces, the main part of his body, shined, radiated. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So Moses, what do we have? We live with Moses not much longer. He's going to go up and die, disappear. But he got to wear a mask. Got to wear a mask. We don't want you around Moses without a mask. Hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now, when he first went in to get the first Ten Commandments, and he came down and he delivered them, but there was no radiating from his face. He was delivering what the first time? He was delivering the Ten Commandments on the basis of Exodus 19 and 8, all that you say, said Israel, all that you say God will do. That's the law. You, God, we're somebody, and therefore you tell us and we'll do it. God said you can't do it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. That's the law. And there's no glow. But the second time, what is the difference? Chapter 33 of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 33, picking up, please. And you will note it. A word, if I may. Picking up chapter 33. And in verse 12. And Moses said, 33:12. This is, remember now, the God's looking to Moses is praying to save Israel from breaking the golden calf and the Ten Commandments and all that. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moses said, who's going to go with me? Yet thou said, I know thy name, I know thee by name, said Moses. And I know that thou hast found grace in my sight, in my sight. So, grace, Moses, what? So Moses, that's why Moses is the leader. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thou thy way, that, purpose, I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So God, I want to show thy grace. Verse 16. And wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it is not that thou goest with us? And so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We're different. We're believers. And we're to be known as believers. We're to be different. We are not anymore part of the world system. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in that, verse 17, in my sight. Now, that's grace. Now, that's different than law. That's grace. How is God dealing with the people now? All that we say, all that you say God will do? No, they're going to keep doing it. But God isn't going to deal with them based on that. How is God going to deal with them? Moses said, you've got to go and override their attitude, their heartlessness, and you've got to override that. Why? Because you, before the foundation of the earth, you have a wonderful plan that has nothing to do with anybody except the outworking of your plan. Genesis 3:15, you made a promise, the seed of the woman, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Israel may goof all over the place, but Israel is your vessel, and you're going to do what you're going to do, not because they're good guys, but because you have a commitment to do it to yourself before the foundation of the earth. That's why you're doing what you're doing. Now, having said that, that's the grace part. And what's the other part? In verse 18. And I said, 33 and 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and merciful. Mercy, show mercy on whom I show mercy, etc., 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 etc. Sliding down for time's sake, verse 23. Verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. You see my afterglow, literally. But my face is, you shall not see. You cannot see my face. You will see it in my son, the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, but you will not see it. Moses, you can't see my face. What did the Lord Jesus say, Matthew 5, John 5? You can't see, to the Israelites, they're claiming all this, you have never seen his shape, and you'll never hear his voice. You've never heard it. But Moses, face to face, talked to God. In fact, even in Numbers, Moses what did what? Mouth to mouth with God. Mouth to mouth with God. Personal, direct, wonderful. Hang on. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here we are going down the corridor of time, and here's Israel, and going, and here comes down the road, and Moses, you got your face covered. Now, God, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? You made a commitment to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. That's right. Now, God, they don't want to see your face. And they made Moses cover his face. So they don't want any direct contact. No, they don't. Now, God, what did you do to honor that? You put the tabernacle, the tent, right in the middle of them. And all they will ever see is the tent. Only the priest will go in and see the wonderful things, the lampstand, the table of showbread, the altar for worship, the ark once a year, and the mercy seat. You guys will never see it. But you will see the tent. You will see the smoke by day, the cloud, and you'll see the fire by night. But you won't see in the tent. You'll only see the flesh, because that's all you wanted to see, is Moses' face covered. That's what you wanted. And that's all you're going to get. What happened to the privilege, Deuteronomy 4 and chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4? You had an opportunity face to face. You said, we do not want that opportunity. We do not want to be understand. We don't want to have the privilege of understanding God's invisible, invincible presence. And you got 7.8 plus million, billions. They don't, not all of them, they don't want to see God. Religion up to the eyeballs, but not God. And we say, the astronaut, I don't see God. Where is God? Ah, you don't want to see him, and you won't. Hang on. Hang on. It comes together. The trouble is, it's only 11 o'clock, so be of good cheer. It's a wonderful thing. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, if you can, over in, now, here's the tent. Let me move quickly. Here's our Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ stands on planet Earth for 3 1/3 years publicly, what did they see? And you know, without ever turning there, in John chapter 10, et cetera, 33. We don't mind you talking and doing and feeding us, but when you do what you do, you're just a man. You're not God. You're just a man. You can't be more than a man. The tent, that's all they see. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, remember, if you've seen me, you've seen what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, face to face. You don't want it, and they don't have it. And what are you going to give for your testimony? I'm going to take the church, and I'm going to show it. How are you going to show it? An empty tomb. You're going to show them your wonderful, glorious person? No, not until I come. And every eye shall see, Revelation 1, my nail-pierced hands. And they will know at that point that I'm God. But that's what's going to wait. They're going to have to wait till that day. But in the meantime, here's grace, grace and glory. That's why people could survive. That's why Moses' face was glowing this time, not the first time, the second time, because it's grace. How can we have God? You aren't out here anymore. No, you're in here. In your grace, we're saved by grace. We're saved for glory. We save, we are in glory. We have glory. Grace and glory. And his face, his presence in our life. That's right. That's right. Wonderful presence. Do we have any covering? No. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you received him point blank in his awesome, infinite being into your heart because of the death death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And God did that for you. You don't have to go. We don't go to idols. We don't go to something hoping to get to God. I realize believers aren't got connections very good here. Not you guys, of course. They don't have anything. They're all over the place about God. That's the trouble. Because they want to have some visible thing, and they really don't want God that way. They don't want do they want to hear, thou shalt do this or else? If we read all kinds of things. I read. Now, if I read to you the Bible and take it, do you like it or you don't like it? Hold it, let me change it a bit. Is that what people want to hear? Do people want to hear straightway what God said? There's no bending to it. It's straight across the table. Be ye saved or you're lost. That's all. Without the Son, you don't have any life, you're dead. Who wants to hear that? No one. So cover your face. Then make sure you don't come. Don't come like that. We don't want to hear that. Say it this way so that we can handle it. Don't say it straightway. Don't do that. We don't like that. That's our human nature. I'm trying to tell you the thing that we're in globally, not just locally. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind about our Lord, and therefore, when they didn't, the Lord only rose from the grave and he only showed himself for 40 days to 500, a little more, other people and that. And he did that. He never showed himself. He never showed his resurrection to the people. Only to the saved. That's all. Face to face. Face to face. And he left the rest of the world to see what? Whosoever's that believe. He left the rest of the world to look at you guys. To see, what do they see? Flesh. Flesh and blood. Do they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Do they want to know Christ in you, the hope of glory? No, they don't mind telling you, you need to believe in the Lord. They don't mind that. The minute you tell them, God, you'll receive God, Almighty God, our Creator and Savior, into your heart. Woo! What happens then? We don't want it. We don't mind you telling us believe in all these things. Just don't explain to us the relationship that's going to take place. And they don't want to hear that. They don't want to know that, do they? I got to quit, but before I quit, I got to do one thing. And over to 2 Corinthians. And I know people don't want to hear this. I don't blame them. If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't want to hear it either. Because it isn't going to come out very good. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. May I pick up one thing? We'll have to continue it tonight, but thank you for your patience. But at least see it a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4. May I go to verse 6 directly. For God, when you're saved, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined where? And you guys, girls, where? In your heart. What's it about? Your heart. It's about your heart. Not about your heart. God said, I want all your heart. David had a heart for me. Israel didn't have a heart. Now, verse 6. For God who commanded light to shine in darkness shined in our hearts. To give the light. L-I-G-H-T. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the, what? In the face. Straightway. In the face. In the face of Jesus Christ. Face to face with God. The invisible God, I can't deal with him, but I can deal with his Son. God sent his Son. God is the God-man. And I can come and the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. I can receive him as my Savior. Uh-huh. I don't have to guess. God, you died. It's on the cross. And I got that part. I can understand it. And then I'm going to believe. And your God, being God, you're going to go and connect me to you. You're going to find your home in my heart. And I'm going to find myself in you. So God, when I look, I'm in the middle of you. In Christ. Face to face. Face to face. Always. Face to face. No mask. No mask. I'm always face to face. And if you're saved, that is your right to enjoy that straightway. You don't have to go to monastery. You don't have to become a monk. You don't have to become anything else either. You pray, God, here we are, face to face. Do you understand? Face to face. Comfortable. It's just flesh. Aha! But in His grace and for His glory, it's you betcha. But we are one safe being before God. People will look, they want to know. I'm free before God. You aren't out there, but I am. And do what you will. But I'm coming to God and I'm not covering my face for you. Now, having said that, I got to quit. In the light of the present situation in our country. And by the way, if you just bear another minute with me. Interesting thing. I'd have to get the more statistics on it. But you know the mask, these masks? The mask, yeah, mask. Unless you have a very, very high-tech mask, the microbe, the virus, is so small. It's smaller than the flu or whatever. It goes right through your mask. Do you understand? Your mask isn't made to stop that. You'd have to have another kind of mask to stop the virus. It's so small. Do you really? So every time you breathe, what? Out it goes. Got it? But I'm praying it's good. That's true. That's true. If you cough, it's good. If you don't, if you sneeze, make sure you hold it because you could blow it away. Because, you know, you got it. Interesting, isn't it? The whole thing's interesting. It's cuckoo. Is that all right to say that? It's a cuckoo thing for control. Globally, never before. When the Antichrist, I don't want to get into Antichrist, I'm going to make a sign. You can't buy or sell except what? Now, you know all this stuff with the money and all that. And somebody, and money, they don't want money, they don't want cash. But what are you going to have? We're so used to a thermometer, measure temperature. Every pills, all the tests you do before you can even get through the door. You know, test. We're all used to that globally. What are we used to? Doing what we have to do to survive. Doing what we have to do to get along. So I can say, like I said to someone, I appreciate all your time and what can I tell you? I'll quit early tonight in the process. What? I want you to enjoy being saved and not have a mask. And when you have to wear a mask to fit in to whatever, don't ever stop enjoying. You don't need it. You may wear it, but you don't need it. Got it? And so you can't get in the doctor. When I went to the doctor to get a checkup or something, in the process, I had so many things to do, and they followed me around because I was just holding a mask. And they said, you can't hold the mask. So they made paper clips because I said, oh, I'm putting that on my ears. My hearing things come off. I'm not losing them for a dumb mask. And in the process. So they had paper clips, and they put paper clips all around to hold the mask and put it again. I said, Doc, won't you be glad when this is over? What can I tell you? It's a sidetrack. Did you get a little bit? Face to face. It's an awesome, wonderful reality. And the devil doesn't want you to ever, the world doesn't want you to ever, Christians don't even want you, unfortunately, to enjoy it. Because you're too holy, right? I don't know how you'd be too holy and too righteous. And who do you think you are? I'm a believer saved in God's saving grace. That's what I am. I got to quit. Appreciate everything. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in every way. God, it's just little old us. And God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we just want to enjoy the wonderful reality of our relationship face to face. Straightway, God, new creatures, part of your body, in your body, for your glory, in your grace, all of it, God. All the while seeking to satisfy within reason the world in which we live. And our God, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's wonderful, wonderful name, Spirit of God, thanks a lot. Amen.